last time we talked about the Dino Charge, it was not so great.
Episode 2 was a minor step down. We weren't as big on 2 as we were on 1, because 2 had a little bit too much forced exposition.
But now we're moving on to 3 and 4.
Yes, now we're done with the establishing. Now it's time to get to individual characters.
And when I watched 3 and 4, I made sure to watch them again back to back. Just to make sure that I am not trying to get on this high of like, oh, look, it's new and bright and shiny. I wanted to make sure that we were going to give you the goods here.
I don't know. We've had 4 years in a row that were every year it was new, bright, and shiny. And every time it's like,
I mean, new, bright, and shiny as in like, oh, it's a new hotness.
Oh, new hotness. Right? Well, there was times when those things were new hotness. They still...
I know, but no, I mean, in terms of the new hotness being a good thing and not new, quote-unquote, hotness, quote-unquote...
Hot pile of garbage.
Good. So. Right.
Yes.
So.
Yes, now we are dynamiting, ready to fight.
Oh my gosh. Cannot believe they used that phrase.
No, me neither. I thought it was just going to be a promotional thing because they hadn't said it in the first 3 episodes.
I know. Oh, no. I thought we were going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. We were not wrong.
I thought it was just some weird thing that showed up in, like, a kid's coloring book or something, but never was in the show. How wrong we were.
So, episode 3.
And we're fumbling again. Oh, we're opening doors.
I think he's getting his food. I think Mikey's getting his food. This brings us to a commercial break. So
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
This episode is brought to you by Mikey's Dinner, where we ordered about an hour and 15 minutes ago, or no, an hour and a half ago, and it just arrives.
Boy, it feels like Tristan's here.
Oh, the times where Tristan would get his dinner midway through the podcast and Carl's Jr. would just crumble in our ears.
Disgusting burger every Sunday.
Oh, memories. Memories of a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by memories. There you go. So, while we bring up episode 3.
Glenda sponsor.
Episode 3 was about... What was it about again?
It was about Tyler working alone.
Right.
Oh!
Tyler.
Hey.
Oh, wait.
Oh, fumble. Oh.
Hey,
slam.
Sorry, guys.
Slam. Boom.
Oh. All right. Had an emergency I had to take care of.
Oh, well, no, we went to a commercial break.
Yes.
Because you didn't know that we had sponsors, but actually we do. So we were just talking about how this episode is brought to you by your dinner. So...
Thanks, Papa John's.
Oh, it's Papa John's, not a Carl's Jr. See, we were wrong. See, we were just so enamored with the memories of Tristan's mid-podcast break of getting Carl's Jr. for dinner. Maybe you thought that would be the same.
You said memories.
I said memories?
Yes, you did.
Well, maybe it was my accent.
Oh, Tristan and his memories.
Anywho, we were talking about episode 3. We were just about to talk about episode 3, where Tyler wanted to work alone.
Yes.
And so let's start out with, I know Jeremy has notes.
I have notes. I got to remember them because I watched episode 3 a week ago.
Okay, I was going to say, that episode's a little foggy, so I'm going to need a little quick summary.
Yes, my notes of episode 3 are longer than my notes of episode 4, so that's good. That's good.
All right, so begin.
I believe we begin on the spaceship with Sledge and Co. And this is where we finally start to see what we assumed was going to happen, where he basically bribes / threatens all of his caged up monsters, which is good. I think it's a good way to work it. It's kind of a Time Force thing going on, where all the monsters are already there. And I think it's good because it helps establish Sledge as being genuinely threatening if all these monsters are willing to do this crap when they're all supposed to be crazy bounties in their own right. So that's good. So the guy they get is a scrapper dude, scrap metal looking guy. But yeah, blah, blah. Episode starts, monsters
start. Right, because the scrapper, he tried to escape.
Yes, he scrunched the bars and tried to get out, and then Sledge's like, ain't playing that game. Shoots him down. Let's see. Next is, God, I hate it when I look at my notes, I'm like, what did I mean when I wrote that? Because all my notes, like the way I write it is, it's just individual, like one line, and it's like three or four or five words. And at the time, it makes perfect sense. And by the time we record a couple hours later, it still makes perfect sense. A week later,
that's when you rewatch it.
Well, I just watched four again. Oh, anyway, Jesus, it's a fire.
So the next scene is where I believe that they are in their base, and it's
okay. Yeah, I'm pulling it up and muting it so I can follow along.
And you have Chase, who's at, you know, working on his
skateboard,
and
Riley's like fighting tennis balls.
Oh yeah, Riley's fighting tennis balls, that type of thing.
Uh huh. And Shelby's trying to get hit by tennis balls, and you know, Shelby and Chase, is there something going on there?
I think it's supposed to be like, oh, well, Shelby was liking Chase, but Chase wasn't really feeling her. So now she's like, I don't need you. I don't like you no more. Whatever.
Yeah, because I can't tell if they're trying to do that or if they're trying to do like a brother-sister thing.
I got the impression that Chase was wishing something was happening, but Shelby was the one who wasn't having any of it.
Because Chase will hit on anything with a vagina, so we've already established that. So I'm not sure. And I know Shelby's giving that mean side eye. She's getting very good at the side eye. She gives you that. She gives you that heifer look.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, no, because remember in the first episode, she was, you know, trying to talk to Chase. Or was she trying to talk to Chase to get on the dig?
Yeah, it was just she was just trying to get on the dig, just like how she was getting the burger for Coda. She was just, you know, trying to sweeten the pot. She was honey d***ing him. So
what?
She was buttering up that muffin.
Well, you never saw the interview? Oh no? Okay.
No.
Oh.
I'm good.
There's a lot of honey d***ing.
Okay, yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for saying that again. Edit it again.
What?
Just saying.
That word has other meanings. You're just got your mind in the gutter.
Anywho. So that's where she comes in, and she's in her regular clothes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, they're wearing different clothes.
Like okay. multiple outfit changes per episode. What? This
is crazy. Crazy. So she comes in, and Chase is like, ooh, look, a Sanazi. And she's like, yeah, I get to like not work at the Dino Bite. And
Dino Bite.
And then she turns around and she sees Tyler
all derped out,
jungle furying. I mean, I'm sorry, but like it's like the exact same colors from when Jungle Fury kids used to work in the pizza shop.
No, it's like, not Jungle Fury. They wore green shirts and orange aprons.
I know, so there's like a lot of greens and oranges and browns and things.
But no, he's got that doofus outfit on where he's ready to work.
Pretty much.
And Kendall's all like, nah, son, you gotta keep working because this is your disguise.
Your cover up.
Yes. And then Coda comes in the best outfit of all, no outfit.
Yes.
Hey!
So is this like a thing? Like, I wonder if his audition was like, don't speak. Just take off your shirt. And do you look good with your shirt off? Yes? Okay. You got the part.
Well, like, to be fair, I've seen enough pictures online that I know that Tyler's actor also looks like he's from Six Pakistan. So, you know, there's a lot of good looking dudes on the, like all, I think all four dudes are pretty ripped.
I don't know about Riley though. I'm not sure.
He's wearing sweater vests. What do you expect?
I've just seen sweater vests and things.
He's the nerd. He's the stuffy dude. You know, he's the wienery kid. I don't know.
So we're gonna have to see some
just like,
proof.
Just like Chase is all hoodying it up all the time. He loves his hoodies. And then in the next episode, Tyler loves his Marty McFly jacket. So it happens.
But what I have to say is that you have Coda shirtless mostly all the time, mm-hmm. right? And his limited English when he feels like it.
Right. Well, I do still think that they will sooner than later fix his English.
I hope so, please.
I actually think it's still charming at the moment, but I do think it will wear thin sooner than later.
I think in episode 4, it was kind of wearing thin for me.
No.
Well, because it was about him.
Yeah, it was all Coda all the time.
Yeah, Coda and Taco and Peter.
We'll get to Rufio in a moment.
Sorry. A lot of feelings.
So they dropped the bombshell. Yes, Coda is a caveman. Yes, he found his energem 100,000 years ago, which actually isn't that long ago compared to how long the energems were lost. But, and I do think it's interesting that they do sort of fudge history, because people don't realize this, but out of all the dinosaurs, a Stegosaurus doesn't go with the other four. Like, the difference in time between when a Stegosaurus existed and when a Tyrannosaurus existed is greater than the time between any of those and us. Like, we're talking millions and millions of years between a Stegosaurus and a Tyrannosaurus when they actually existed. Although, you know, in Power Rangers world, the same world where you can breathe in space, they existed at the same time, apparently.
I see.
Because Keeper gave it to all of them at the same time. So it's like, oh, okay, sure, whatever. We'll go with that. But the other four dinosaurs actually are in the same ballpark of time.
The more
of
you know.
Periods, yes. But Stego, Nasan, it ain't got no point there. It's kind of hoping
you
they would have
with us.
Yeah, I was hoping they would have found a way to give it to it individually so it would have fixed history. But whatever. I don't know. Kids show. They're dumb. But
and apparently I'm dumb too, because I'm...
Well, you weren't... Yeah, but see, that's the thing, is if you were like a little boy in the 90s, the chances of you loving dinosaurs and wanting to learn about dinosaurs were great. Power Rangers or no Power Rangers. That was just the thing. Kids love dinosaurs.
Yeah, I didn't care about dinosaurs.
Yeah, girl stuff, right?
Oh, we just like pink and math is hard.
And Barbie, and you were just thinking about your wedding eventually, right? And
eventually.
My easy bake oven.
Right. Actually, don't play. I wanted an easy bake oven.
Well, let's be real. Easy bake oven was cool no matter what gender you were. That was sweet. So...
So.
No matter what gender, no matter what.
But I didn't get an easy bake oven. I got an ice cream maker machine, and we didn't get to make ice cream because crap, that didn't work. It just didn't work.
I had a Snoopy snow cone maker. That was pretty sweet.
Never had that.
You never had a Snoopy snow? You can still go get one. They make them again now.
I'm good.
You go to Toys R Us. You just need to.
I'm straight.
And now you're probably strong enough that you could actually grind the ice cubes. You know, because back in the day, it was just like, oh my god, Dad, will you grind these ice cubes? Hell, I can't do that.
Anyway, yes. Back to...
Speaking of being frozen, hey,
hey,
segue, hey, here we go. Then they kind of drop a bomb, which I think is a little kind of creepy, actually, when I think about it, that having a dino gem means that you don't age.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really know how I feel about that.
It's weird. It's kind of like, ooh, that's...
So then, like, Shelby's like, well, I'm going to be 18 forever? Amazing!
You see, if that happened to me, my initial reaction would be, oh my god, everybody I know is going to die before me. They're all going to die, and I'm going to be sitting here looking 18.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, it's like, what they're gonna do, right? Is it really gonna stay attached to them forever, ever?
Right. Or you know, in the season finale, they're gonna lose their powers just like they did in Dino Thunder.
Right. And crack, crack, boom, boom, they'll be
old. Yeah, not bonded anymore. Yes. Boom. And they'll have some sad moment when they can't, you know, magically pick up the gem with their crazy powers and shoot it across the room into the thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll be so sad.
Forever young in the background.
Oh.
Slow motion, some Violet. Tears.
Yeah, because see, this is my thing, is before we saw episode 4, because people were wondering, like, whoa, why does Coda not know English and stuff like that? And to me, what made sense was because, okay, in the next scene, we find out that Coda knows who Fury is because he has a drawing on the cave wall of Fury. So what I thought was going to happen was I thought he was going to find the gem and Fury was going to be there because apparently he can smell energems. We've already established that. And they'd have like some crazy fight and then there'd be like a cave-in or something and Coda would be stuck there. So he'd have like some like reason for vengeance, which I think is better than what they did. That's just me. Because now we're still at a point where he knows Fury, but we don't know why after episode 4 still.
No, because he chased him. He chased after his Zenogem, isn't it?
What?
Fury chased after, what's his name? Coda for his Zenogem.
When?
I don't think so.
That's what he said in episode 4!
They never showed anything, though.
I know they didn't show, but he said, he's saying, like, oh, Fury came for me.
Well, I know, but I would like something a little more substantial than maybe an offhanded comment, you know? Like, I thought that was going to be, like, some big rivalry thing.
No, you have to leave that for the Red Ranger. Come on. Pshaw. Hello. It's, he went after my dad. It's more important.
Well, he's not the one that has, well, I don't know. If they're using Japanese footage, that the person that has the rivalry with Fury is going to be the Gold Ranger.
Well, we don't know what they're doing because they're changing up things, my friend. It's changing up things.
Maybe the Gold Ranger will be his dad.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe it'll be Taku.
I'm just going to call him Taco. It sounded like Taco.
Oh,
Taco.
Yes. So then they, you know, monsters are coming and they have a sweet, holographic map, which I don't know. It's no Samurai Water map, but it's okay.
It'll do.
Yes. It's a,
you know, budget cuts and everything,
mm-hmm.
You
know. But it's a cool map of the world. I enjoy it. Establishing. We are still in the North America, not New Zealand, not beautiful sprawling New Zealand. Which in the next episode is painfully obvious. Like, sure. There are times where it's just like, who are you kidding when you say that you're in this place? You clearly in New Zealand. Nothing looks like that in the rest of the world. Just like how in, what was it? It was Overdrive where they're like, oh, we're in the Florida Everglades. Really? Because that looks like New Zealand to me. Pretty sure nothing in Florida looks like that.
That whole season was nonsense anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Besides the point.
Yes. Well, no, anyway, so the Rangers run out and they get to meet Sledge for the first time. And I think what's fun. What?
Go ahead.
Okay. One small note that I think is fun is that we're also establishing that, you know, Sledge is a guy who's been stuck on this ship forever and ever, millions of years, with limited resources. So we're showing that his rusty old armor actually is faulty at times. Like, he had trouble with the little rockets on it and stuff like that. So,
which I thought it was.
And it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And then Keeper shows up and in about 1 minute is more useful than Gosei was in 2 seasons. Because, you know, he lays down the law and he basically tells Sledge, you know, ah, son, I got me a team of Rangers now.
They're gonna whoop you. Then pieces out of there.
Well, yeah! He's a small little ET looking dude.
First of all,
so you want to come
able
get it? Bye.
To karate chop Fury, okay?
Yeah.
He's kung fu and Fury, okay? He shows up. I'm thinking, oh snap, yo, he's gonna bust out some moves like Mentor G. Like, he's like gonna like
gonna G rum him.
Exactly. I was like, oh snap, Keeper's up in his piece. great. And he makes his statement or whatever, turns around, gone.
I loved it because he's like, I got me a team of Rangers now. I'm an old man. I've been chilling for 65 million years. These kids are going to do the heavy lifting for me.
Like, I'm with Riley. He's like, keeper, keeper, keeper. Like, where are you? Like, what are you doing?
I love that he talks smack and then pieced out of there.
Somebody on Ranger Board, I don't remember who it was, but they had a theory that perhaps Keeper is a ghost. Now, I guess, like, in modern day. Because he doesn't touch anything. He hasn't touched anybody, supposedly. I don't remember. I never really noticed. And the way he, like, poofed in and poofed out, I guess, was pretty ghostly to this person.
It's plausible.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's why he fought Fury, but he wasn't able to fight Sledge for whatever reason.
I just love the douchery. I hope he does that more often. I hope he just keeps coming in, talking mad game, and then bouncing out of there.
I can't.
It's still more useful than Gosei, and you know it.
I mean, well, Gosei was trifling. I mean, that's...
Stuck on a wall. He was Zordon and it up there, and that's... No, none of that.
So, yeah, but, okay, so you have then Sledge and Co. go after the Rangers and them. And mind you, Tyler is still focused on Fury.
Because Fury, yeah, Fury's creeping in the weeds.
You know, he still, like, has his mindset on going after Fury. But he's like, okay, let me snap out of it. Let me fight these people just for funsies. Just for shiggles, as I call them. And then their powers are just not matching up to what is it, Sledge, and then you got the pink chick, and then you have the crying tin can. You have
Poissandra and Wrench.
Right. And then the monster, which is the regular monster, and then you have all the other little foot soldiers and things. So yeah, they just were not really... Vivix? Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Vivix.
Yes.
How does it sound like a
window cleaner
camera brand? Like, oh, what kind of camera you have? Oh, I got Canon. Mm-hmm. What you want? Oh, I got a Nikon. Oh, what you, Vivix? I
gotta get that stain out. Go get the bottle of Vivix.
I got cold. What do you use to like kind of clear up your nose? Oh yeah, I use the Vivix.
Mm-hmm. Just rub a little Vivix bit. Rub. Yeah, rub it under my nose. Mm-hmm. Good to go. Yeah.
And then they become Vivizords.
They do, yes. The giant creepy looking things, yeah.
So odd. But yeah, so they fight them. They weren't able to keep their morphedness on. And what's his name is like, Sledge is like, okay, look, I gotta be with you 1 hour for you get your act together. You need to get your life. And then he goes,
give me my inner gems.
Gale goes away. And then what's his face? Tyler is all like, yo, I'm gonna go after Fury, yo.
Yeah, he's got a mat on for Fury, so he's like, I'm gonna go get him. And then Tyler's like, what are you doing?
You mean Chase?
Oh yeah, Chase. Chase's like, what are you doing? You can't go alone. We're a team. And then Chase's like, I'm going. So Tyler's like, whatever, just let him go. Chase, damn it, I'm backwards. Chase. I'm saying because he's going to go chase the guy, so I want to say it's Chase. But no, Chase's like, whatever, just let him go, because you know I'm the sweet broody Black Ranger. So that's my role. I'm going to tell him to let him do what he does.
You know what? Tyler, he had a point. Okay? He was just like, look, we don't have to be together to work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's ultimately what is going to be the thing I find most interesting about this episode is that, you know, typically when you have some sort of disagreement like this, it's always going to be the Red Ranger saying, oh, I was wrong, or whatever, whatever Ranger it is by himself saying, oh, I was wrong, guys, we are stronger together as a team. That's usually the lesson they try to heap on you. But here, they basically said, neither of these guys is technically right or wrong. They both had a point, and if either one of them didn't take the stance that they did, then things might have gone badly for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, we're shades of gray in it.
nuances new for the show.
Yes, and more importantly is what Tyler learns in a second is that the bad guys came up with a plan that was actually a really good plan.
For real.
It was actually very, very smart and one of the most clever things a villain has ever done with their monster. Like,
honestly, like, you know how this whole, like, we're going to go after the base? They usually leave that to, like,
yeah, that's finale. I'm waiting for, yeah, we wait till episode 40 for Zeltrax to come in and start breaking stuff.
Pretty much.
Like,
but they were like, episode 3, we ain't wasting time.
Hit the ground running with threatening the base. And it's not even one of those things where it's like, oh, he gets close to it. It's like, he finds out, he does what he's supposed to do. Monster goes there, finds out exactly where the base is because the Rangers aren't paying attention, you know, making rookie mistakes, because they actually are as rookie as you can get. And, you know, if it wasn't for Tyler creeping around, then...
Doing the creep.
Then they would have been...
TLC.
They would have... This would have succeeded and the Rangers would have been screwed in episode 3. Like, real threat. Fantastic.
Although I do have to say the monster, not so bright. For sure.
No. But, and... I don't. It depends if they later show that they actually can straight communicate to the ship, because then that would ruin things. But again, we're kind of establishing the fact that he's not running on lots of power, and that they always have to wait for these little space pods to come, because every time we see, you know, Fury and whatever they go, it's always they take these pods, so. I don't know. And he was actually getting... That's also another cool thing. He's getting into the damn pod, and Tyler sideswipes him with his car, which is amazing. Just absolutely plows straight into
him. Although, he could have just told Wrench, yo, this is where their base is. Go tell...
Yeah, like, one of us get away, the other one, yeah, keep fighting.
But then Wrench could have taken all the credit. Maybe he was thinking, like, I have to be the one to tell.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he's trying to get himself free.
But then say, like, at least, like, say some kind of, like, oh, I'm going to tell... Wait, he might steal my plan. And then, you know...
I don't know. I think this show is better than having to say that.
Well, if you didn't, then it just looks like, oh, why didn't he tell him?
But I think it's a fair point. They've already pretty much established the fact that these monsters are only doing what they're doing for personal gain, not because they want, oh, I want to help Sledge do great things because I'm a loyal monster to him. It's I'm doing this for purely selfish reasons. I don't know. I think it's okay.
A little something. They need to have some kind of communication. Something like little something like, yo, Sledge, you can hear me? Shoot. You got like cameras up in whatever. You can see what's going down here.
Yeah, it's one thing if it's like Fury or Wrench that finds out the information first, then yeah, at that point it should be just get the information back any way possible. But if it's one of the monsters who has zero loyalty, I'm okay with it.
Well, we'll just agree to disagree, y'all. We just agree to disagree. All I know is that the scrapper guy, he just couldn't catch a break, you know? He was almost going back to tell his story. Then he gets blasted by the other Rangers, and then they grewed him up. They blew him up to big old size, and more people. I think this is the episode where they combined swords finally.
Yes. This is also the episode though where they first busted out that Dino Steel.
Right, the Dino Steel.
Love me some Dino Steel.
Dino Steel. See? Yeah, you see? Yeah, they got upgraded. They had the new Megazord. Scrapper couldn't catch a break. Just couldn't catch one.
But and also, this is the first time we saw the full group morph, where they got them sweet tight suits on, where they do their little morphs.
Oh, the unitards.
Their little unitards, yeah. Which is weird. They start out with black unitards when they're final suits have no aren't like that at all. They're got, you know, white underneath, not black, but it ain't no Gokaiger, but.
Well, I mean, who wants to spin around in a white unitard?
Well, then it turns white afterwards. First they spin, and then it turns white, and then they basically do almost the exact same morph from Kyoryuger. It's very similar.
Well, look, they mix in a whole bunch of stuff. They mix in Kyoryuger, they mix in Mighty Morphin, they mix in Ninja Storm / Dino Thunder. So this is a little, like, why is the ha back? Why is the ha back?
The ha? Oh.
I thought we got rid of the ha.
What, you don't like the ha?
I hate the ha. I really do. Like, we were done. We were done. Ninja Storm, done. No more ha. It's just another superfluous, nonsensical automatopoeia.
Makes you feel good, you know. Makes you feel like you energized. You go, ha! You know, you're doing. I don't know. And an interesting.
Sorry.
Oh, I was just
gonna say it's already a very catchphrase heavy morph sequence.
For
like,
real.
Yeah, it's
ha
it's
is just
very
one
involved.
Extra syllable.
It's very
no,
it's
but
very
like
involved.
I mean, they have it's morphin' time. They have. First is ready, and then it morphin' time, and then they have energized. Like, I mean, they have a lot already. You don't need the you don't need it.
I'm okay with Haas. I've never had a problem with Haas.
You never had a problem. You don't have a problem much. But
interesting though is still, even through all of that, it's still better than, say, a Megaforce where it's like, oh, we need to pad this episode, so give everybody a really, really long, drawn-out individual morph in every single
episode.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, we actually have content. We don't need to do that.
This is true. Yeah. Long are the days where you're like, wait a minute, they have really done a group morph together that's really, like, you know, substantial and has extra things in it. You know, you're kind of looking for that now. I'm like, what? This is crazy.
Oh, we're actually allowed to do scenes where we say, Rangers, go do something, and then the next scene they're already morphed doing the thing. What?
Crazy.
You mean we don't need to have them flippy-do in the air 5 times? And oh my gosh. Amazing.
Rangers together, samurai forever. Mm-hmm. Oh, I keep going back to samurai, but what
mega,
is it? Mega Force,
super mega, win,
super.
Rangers together. Forcing. What do they say? They say, oh hell, it's got to rhyme with those. Together, all together. They say all together, right?
Rangers. Earth's defenders never,
Earth's defenders never surrender. That's the one. Something er. Lots of errs.
Dumb dumbers never dumb. Is
yes,
what
the errs. We're erring it up. Dino-bite!
It's just funny how, like, I never remember Megaforce's things. I just remember Samurai's stuff ingrained.
Well,
so
to me, at this point, they're both the same thing. Like, I'm still going Mia, Gia, Emily, Emma, Mema, Derma, whatever. Something or
yeah, but yeah. So anyway, yes, they did their Dino-mite ready to fight something.
That was the next episode.
Oh, that was four. That was four, really.
1-4.
Oh, okay. Well,
I still had hope during 3.
He does say it's about to, or it's going to get wild.
Yeah,
said that a couple times.
Oh, I am. So
I love it because that's straight from Kyoryuger.
Tyler,
I didn't know that.
Really,
that's exactly what the Red Ranger says. That's exactly what Daigo says all the time. Is it's about to
just stop? It's about to get wild. He needs to stop.
I love it.
I mean, why are you making this character really annoying when he fights? Why?
Fantastic.
Why?
The best of things
between the Rexy and
Sexy Rexy.
And it's about to get wild. And then, like, how many jokes do you have to make that is about, oh, you smell? Like, the variations of you smell. Right? Like, either he needs deodorant or he has bad breath or, like, I mean, just...
Would you rather have a nice trip? See you next fall.
See you next fall.
Yeah.
I just really want him to stop talking when he fights.
What goes up must come down.
Oh. Which, what do you think? What about Coda and his, I think I'm in a Japanese TV show, so I keep saying caveman moves.
Oh my gosh. He's like the next person he needs to stop talking when he's fighting. He's the next person. Because, I mean, if I have to hear caveman, jump!
Isn't it?
Caveman.
Isn't it a little weird that he refers to himself as a caveman, or no? Is that normal?
No, it's not normal. Because you would just refer to yourself as a man.
Well, no, that's the thing is if you're the person, then you would probably spend all your time referring to everybody else as future people.
Yeah.
Not calling yourself a caveman. Like, it's in relation to you. You're not in relation to them, to you. You know, it's like, it'd be like a Japanese person saying, oh, I'm going to go get some Japanese food. No, you're going to go get some food.
Yeah. Food. Exactly.
Somebody said that it's like the alien rangers calling themselves alien rangers.
Yeah. The humans are aliens to them. They are not aliens to themselves.
So, yeah, I just couldn't take it. I really couldn't take the whole caveman. Like, I mean, like, seriously, is that what you're going to do in your regular life now when you're not morphed? So, caveman pee, caveman walk, caveman talk. Like, no, you don't do that. So why do that when you're fighting?
Why? Yeah, I mean, I guess I get the fact that he's the fish out of water, but still, you know, like, I guess saying caveman is showing his inability to acclimate. I don't know. I'm gonna get psychological on this, but no, I don't know. It's kind of dumb. More than anything, it's just basically because in the Japanese footage, the Blue Ranger likes to spend a lot of time talking in the middle of his fights, making dumb puns. Like, that's his thing. Is the Blue Ranger in Kyoryuger is the oldest of the group, and his whole thing is everybody makes fun of him for being old because he makes old man puns all the time. So he does a lot more talking in the middle of a fight than anybody else. Because he's too busy, you know, cracking jokes.
Okay. Well, then make really dumb, like, old jokes. Quote, unquote, like, really old jokes. Like, one time, me in bar.
No, don't do jokes. You don't need to actually do jokes just because Japan did jokes. But, and also he likes to call out his moves because a lot of his fight scenes are him doing professional wrestling moves. Like, he suplexes people all the time. So, like, it's actually a crazy wrestling match or like a Dragon Ball Z fight. He's calling out his moves before he does them.
Fine, but it doesn't have to be called Caveman X or Caveman Y. It could just be X or Y. Right? Does not have to be caveman. You are already a man who is old. Don't have to call yourself a caveman. We get it.
Primal throw.
Thank you. Something else. You know? Crap. Like, it's just prehistoric smash. Like, I don't know. Something.
It's about to get wild.
Anyway. But, again, it's minor things, right? I don't want to, like, harp on the minor things. Although, Coda, you, I like you.
Dude. She likes shirtless you.
But wearing a little thin on me. The whole caveman talk. So, let's speed this up.
Tyler, our powers stronger together.
Combine. Like, all right. Like, I feel like you. Sorry, honestly, like, I felt like I was watching Captain Planet.
Yeah.
and it was, what's the guy? Kwame.
Oh, Kwame. Let's combine.
It's like, Coda, the English language is on the phone for you. You need to pick it up.
Let's go, come on. I mean, like, if he's actually frozen, like, if he was legitimately frozen for these last 100,000 years, then it's understandable that he wouldn't be great at English.
No, I get it. I totally get the not good at English thing. I completely understand. But Kendall has a lot of technology. Use it so that you can infuse some English into him. And just, like, let's just skip over this part. Like, we get it. Like, fine, let his English be good. Like, just do, this is the only time where you can use a MacGuffin or what, some magical device where you make his English great. And then you can still make him, like, okay, he's new to, like, modern society, so he's still learning things. But let's make the English good, because I can't, I mean, it's really, it's hard. It wasn't as bad here as, like, then I started to notice in episode 4, I'm just like, I can't. It's too much.
Well,
but anyway, we're not there yet.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends, again, what they do with Coda. Because if he's literally been wandering since he can't age, wandering the Earth for 100,000 years like he's friggin' David Carradine, I don't know. It won't make sense that he doesn't speak English, if that's what they do. You know, where Kung Fu Legend continues sort of thing, where he's just been chilling around looking for Fury.
But no, but was he, I mean, no, but like, was he, wasn't he frozen until recently?
I mean, they didn't make it 100, because all it was he's falling down the cliff in the next episode. Again, we haven't really gotten that to that, but he's falling down the cliff and we see a flash of blue energy and that's where it ends. You know, like, that's really all they've told us. They haven't really said he was 100% frozen or if the energy just saved him from the fall. Or, you know, we're not really sure yet.
I don't think Homeboy was like, you know, like just roaming for like 100,000 years chilling. Like, I doubt it.
Right. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's the thing that everybody actually assumed before this episode, that he was frozen. Like, nobody saw, oh, you don't age coming. Like, that wasn't really on the table. People weren't thinking that. It was, because I think the more obvious thing is he was frozen. You know, he's Avatar. He was stuck in the ice.
He's Dr. O. Yeah. Stuck in the amber.
Yes. But, so, I mean, I don't know. Depends where they're going with it. Again, he's seen Fury, so I guess he wasn't frozen. Or at least he wasn't frozen just yet.
No, but he could have seen Fury any period, like, in between 100,000 years, right? Like, he could have seen Fury recently, or, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be...
Well, it didn't seem like Chase knew who he was, and he's been hanging with Chase this whole time.
I see.
You know, he's been hanging with Chase and Kendall, so...
pretty much, there are still some points to be filled in.
Yeah.
And that's a good
thing. Yeah, I think that's ultimately the point, is we're 4 episodes in and we have lots of backstory and we still have lots of other backstory that we have not gotten to that we're waiting to get to. Like, we've seen a lot of Chase in episodes 3 and 4. You know, he was important, but he was still supporting 2 other characters, and we still haven't actually seen any of his stuff. All we've seen is 1 second in the credits where we see he gets it in a box from some crazy dude looking like it's in a pawn shop. Like, that's what's cool, is we're still getting all this character development from all these different characters, and there's a lot more of them to come. You know, it's not like a friggin' Megaforce where it's literally, here's a bunch of kids in a school and they're all friends and they're all happy and nobody actually has any stories or anything personal about them. Besides, I like nature and I like to take pictures and I like to wear a leather jacket because I'm tough and I have glasses, so I'm the nerd. You know, like, there's stuff to them. Depth, people, depth.
Don't go back to Megaforce. Don't make me disappointed.
I have to compare to show people how absolute dog-ass things have been for the last 4 years.
I mean, they were in a high school. They could have done anything in life. They could have done anything. They could have done anything high school related. Anything. They could have done anything. But no, nothing happened in high school. Nothing.
They could have had other friends. They could have had activities. Like, literally, nobody even has an after-school activity.
Pretty much, no. No, no, except for Emma. Emma, yes.
Yeah, you remember. You're going between the Ma and Ellie.
Yeah. I could have done anything in life in high school, you know, like anything. But no. The part of MMPR that they wanted to rip off was the theme song. Pretty much, that's it. Yeah. No, don't actually. Just rip off some of the storylines.
Theme song and high schoolers. That's about it. Noah in the information room. They're jacking it to porn.
Yep.
Doing what he does.
World Wide Web.
Yes.
In the internet room. Mm-hmm.
Please don't leave us again, Judd. Please.
I don't know.
Leave me, Judd. Well,
unless you got Doug coming in, then yeah.
Yes, yes.
My boy Dougie Fresh. But
Anyway,
we have our battles, and interesting that they actually have a giant beam to make the monster grow, because at that point I was like, okay, I guess they're not going to use the green guy from Courageer. They're just going to
ignore him. I don't even know. What was the alternative, the Sentai counterpart?
That little green guy that shows up in the next episode has a watering can that looks like a jack-o'-lantern, and he waters the monster, and it grows.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
All right, yeah.
Not use that.
But he pulls out of his giant little purse stomach.
Well, I mean, it is creative and sounds kind of cool. It just wouldn't really fit in this context.
No, it wouldn't. But, I mean, I think everybody was, at that point, was like, oh, I guess they're not going to use that costume at all.
Lies.
Anyway, so the monster grows, and Rangers go in their cockpit, and the American cockpit is far superior to the Japanese one.
Of course.
In every way possible.
I wouldn't expect it any other way.
It's very similar, but it has a background. Although, I don't like the fact that the background symbol is Tyler's symbol. I'd rather have it just be the generic Dino Charge symbol.
Dino Charge, yeah.
You know, like, really, Tyler? You need your symbol there? Really? Okay.
Well, you know, somebody must have decorated in there. Must have been Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to get wild.
Well, his Zord is, like, what,
90%?
90%. Well, you didn't see Connor doing that, and his was even more.
Tyler's just like, don't you guys forget your place.
But, it's similar to the Japanese one. It's just that the Japanese one, they basically just had a flat back background. They still have the little pedestals and everything, but they don't seem to put a lot of time into some of their cockpits. I don't know. But, no, ours was nice and fancy. I also like the fact that the Megazord wasn't just the Megazord. They actually differentiated it by saying it was the Tri-Stego formation, like, right off the bat. Like, even though that's technically the default Megazord, they're still labeling each formation, including the original one, which is good because, you know, you don't use all the Zords in the original formation, which is a unique thing for Dino Charge. And they also probably had to change the backgrounds because in the Japanese version, they actually have in English words on the background in every single shot what the name of that formation is, because, you know, the Megazord is actually called Kyoryugin, and whenever he puts on both the green and black arms, that form is called Western, and there's actually Western music in the background. Yes. Like, it's a standoff.
I do not miss the music from Kyoryugin.
You don't want a samba?
I do not at all. And then, like, I remember when the first formation happens, and then the Triceratops and the Stegosaurus are running towards the T-Rex, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is where the samba crap would happen with their music, and it would just be terrible. And I'm just gosh, I'm so glad I don't miss this music. This is amazing. It looks so much better.
No, we need Sambo. Wow. Mucha!
No. No.
No. No? No love for that?
No. No. It's fine with it's really great music. You just do your thing, Dino Charge. Just do your thing. You get that Samba out. So.
Okay. I like it, but okay. So they beat the monster, blah blah blah, and then we go back to them in the kitchen doing their daily job, and then this is when the moment hits that people enjoy. that some didn't really catch the first time around because it's very, very quiet. But when the scene starts, Coda is humming in the background. And the thing he is humming happens to be the Kyoryuger theme song. Which is amazing!
Whoa, 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 whoa. It's probably my favorite part. That's it. That's it.
Oh, I love
it. So he hummed the best part.
See, that's one of the things I want to know is, did, you know, director guy, Judd, anybody, did they just say, you know what, just be humming in the background, Coda?
I think that's what he said. I think that's what Yoshi said. He was just like, all right, start humming. And then he started humming the Kyoryuger theme song.
And nobody would be quick on the uptake enough to realize exactly what he's doing. I don't think that was intentional, because we know that Yoshi is a super turbo nerd when it comes to Sentai and everything of the like. So he's a huge, huge fan of Kyoryuger. So to throw that little Easter egg thing in there, man, I don't like the whole fact that people, you know, pick an actor every year, it seems like, and then become like crazy crushing on him. But I got me a lot of love for Yoshi.
I think that this time it's actually warranted. Okay. Because,
he's one of us.
What's his name? Mike.
Hector David Jr.
There you go. Played us, son. He played us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is after the first couple episodes, Mike was the only character that had even the most remote amount of character.
Pretty
so
much.
It was easy to kind of try to crib onto that still after he was before the season. Like, he was the only one that even talked to anybody, and that was enough. People were like, oh my God, one of the new Rangers spoke to the fans. And now we're at a point where everybody is speaking to the fans, and you got to step your game up, son. So guy running around in a Spider-Man costume all the time and humming Kyoryuger theme songs, that's stepping up your game. So got mad love for Yoshi. So, yep. Come on the podcast. Yoshi, if you see this, you hear this, we got mad love.
Now, I'm not going to say who we know that know you, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, so you should. It's okay if you got a contract with Saban. We won't touch on anything.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we understand. You know, you got to make your cheddar. Yeah. You got
to
make your
we'll
money.
We'll interview you while you're under contract to Saban, and then in a couple years, we'll interview you again.
Right. You know, you got to collect your coin. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Tight-lip security for now.
Get it. But we just want to share with you currently is whoa, whoa.
Whoa, 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 whoa. And I'll talk to you about Kyoryuger all the time. I love that season. It's one of my favorites. We'll chat. We'll chat, you know.
We'll chop it up.
Yeah, chopping it up.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so like that happens, and you know, Shelby's all like, look, we saved the day in the morning and we're serving them lunch.
Yep. This is the life.
I love Shelby.
I do too, because I like the fact that she's like klutzy, you know, and that she's like the most I think pragmatic of the bunch, and it's just nice that you know, we have one girl technically, you know, but unlike other seasons, you know, it's like, oh, we have a girl, so we got to make her girly or anything like that. It's like she is just as much one of the guys goofing around, you know, bad things happening to her. You know, it feels like she's very integrated, that she's very human compared to, you know, oh, I just want to get married and shuppy.
And she gives some shade.
Yeah, she'll toss it back at you. She'll get in a little verbal sparring match, and like Chase gives her crap, and she's like, "Nah, son, I'm throwing it back at you."
Yeah, man, Shelby, like you, man. Do.
She's got a good relationship with Coda. She's throwing hands against Kendall all the time.
pretty much.
She's feisty.
I like most of these characters. I really do. You know, some of them need to be quiet when they're fighting. This is fine.
Oh.
But But yeah, for the most part, I don't have a problem with these characters. These people, you
more
know.
Importantly, they're all defined characters. Like, you're not going to confuse any of them for any of the others.
Exactly. And it helps when none of them look like the previous cast. That kind of helps. I
mean, that was kind of weird. What was that? With the Samurai and Megaforce? Like, why?
Well, they did that. They did that before. Like, I also noticed it when I was a kid. Like, when I was, like, watching Lost Galaxy to Lightspeed Rescue, I'm like, you really followed the exact same formula for what ethnicity has to be what color, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that too.
Or it's like a direct from one to the other. Oh, okay, the black guy's got to be the Green Ranger, the Asian guy's got to be the Blue Ranger. I see what you're doing. Not really, not many variables in this one.
Yeah,
light-haired girl has to be the Pink Ranger, dark-haired girl has to be the Yellow Ranger. Okay, all right. I see what you're doing. But no, you know, it's nice to have some variety.
You know? But this time it was literally... You have, like, one looks alike, the other one looks alike.
Yeah.
Like, the character names are similar. Mm-hmm.
Red Ranger has to have a chiseled jawline and look kind of waxen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Red Ranger was the only one that was, like, they don't look alike at all. Like, one's tall, one's short.
But it was still one of those where it's like, you know, you got to have that leader jaw.
Well, yeah, yeah. You know, but it's just, I mean... Kind of crazy. It was kind of, I mean, the same kind of shade of brown of black person. Like, it was kind of crazy. Like, I mean, like, light skin, curly hair dudes. Like, okay, all right, guys. All right. Can we change that up a little bit? So, of course, people got confused. I still get confused. We trying to figure out who's what.
Well, again, giving them almost the same names for the girls doesn't help. I still can't believe they did that. That's just the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Thanks, Johnny T.
Thank like, literally,
Gia you, and Mia.
Yeah, like, you literally do two seasons in a row of Emily, and then you come back with Emma the next year. Really? You're going to go with that? Wow. Yeah, that is
so many names to choose from.
Creatively bankrupt.
So, I appreciate that these characters are characters.
Yeah.
And... It's like you are really like, oh wow, that person's kind of cool. That person's kind of cool too. Blah blah blah. So it's great. So far, episode 3,
and then it ended.
Did well.
Yes, and then it ended on a joke where we found out that Coda likes to spit, not swallow.
Yeah. See, this is where Coda was wearing on me a little bit.
Oh, Coda, you love your burgers.
Just a little bit.
You're like Jughead.
We did the joke where Tyler throws up the burger, tries to do a little flippity-do with it. It lands in Coda's mouth. Okay, just eat it. Just eat it.
What?
You have a goofy face on. Just eat it.
Well, it's hard to eat an entire burger in one mouthful.
No, but, well... Anyway, what I'm saying is that now you have to throw up some of the itty.
I like the funny little stinger joke. I'm okay with it. Especially if you're capable of ending every episode with a different stinger joke as opposed to, oh no, Gia still doesn't like me. Wah, wah. Which ended quite a few episodes of Megaforce.
We're still in episode 4. Three. And don't count your chickens before they hatch.
I don't think every episode's going to end with Coda reminding us that he likes food. I really don't.
Okay, so we move on to episode 4.
It's time for Return of the Caveman. The Caveman is returning. We are continuing our trend of giving everybody a focus episode one after another, which is good.
CGI.
PR, you know, I love you PR, but boy, you need to up that CGI budget because this was like looked like almost claymation. It was just bad. We got some crazy little kid who we later find out is named Taku and he is Coda's younger brother. He's out in the cave getting attacked by a CGI Sabretooth Tiger while Coda is busy doing his cave drawings, and he finds the blue energem, which we've seen before in the credits, and there it is. We finally get the scene, and so Coda's little brother, Coda, and then Coda, he's running, he's going out there, and the Sabretooth Tiger, he strikes, and Coda's like, no, and he dives in front, and then he gets knocked off the cliff. And
into some CGI water.
I think that's what it was. I don't know exactly. But then the energem glows in his hand and it's starting to engulf him. And we're not 100% sure what happens to him because he wakes up.
It's like Rufio. No.
And he grabs a stick because that's what he likes to do all the time. He just keeps grabbing that stick.
Pretty much.
So, yes, he grabs a stick and he pops out of the cave. Because he hears some noise, because the Rangers are trying to sell you a new toy. And I think that's something I do want to mention about this episode as a whole, is that, okay, it's obvious. The point of this episode, from a marketing standpoint, is to tell you to buy this motorcycle. Clearly, that is the point. However, this entire episode actually manages to integrate said motorcycle into the storyline in multiple creative ways so that it doesn't come off completely like that, again, as opposed to other seasons where it's like, here's a motorcycle!
Your courage has earned you a motorcycle.
Yes. You have unlocked a spell code for motorcycle. Yay!
Ding, ding.
Here, you know, it's actually part of the story, which is an amazing thing. So Coda comes out, and in a very great moment, Shelby is like, Kendall here. And then Kendall, she is also good at the side eye. She gives the nastiest look to Shelby, and Shelby immediately goes, Miss Morgan, like, they are still it's not like, friends.
Like, all the boys can call you Kendall, but she has to call you Miss Fairweather. What's his name? Miss Morgan.
I see how it is. All girls with glasses look the same to you.
Like, really, though? Like, come on.
I love it. Really? I love it because it happens later in the episode as well where they're not flat out saying it, but they are continuing to establish the fact that Kendall does not have the same trust in Shelby that she does in the rest of the team. For whatever reason that is, which I'm sure we will get to, and I'm sure has to do with the fact that she was chosen.
She's racist!
No. Yes, well, yes. But no. We've already established, like we mentioned before, that they already had the pink energem, and I guarantee that they found it, and Kendall assumed it would bond to her, and it didn't. She is jealous.
So now she is
mad jealous. I guarantee that's what they're going
to do. I agree.
But again, what's great about it is that we know that because we've watched the episode, and we've deduced that because it's an interesting question that has come up, as opposed to them spoon-feeding it to us moment one. And God forbid, we actually have two Rangers who are going to have actual conflict with each other. What? Shocking.
Instead of a spell making them have the conflict.
Yes. Yeah, so it's very good, but it's the little things, which is what makes this so good, is that they don't have to tell us this, but we are very, you know, subtly showing us that they've still got beef, which is fantastic. And then another thing that I think is going on that they immediately transition to is with Chase, because Chase is talking about the motorcycle, and he says, take a squiz. Which,
and they're like, what?
Again, sounds like a medical condition. But he's like, no, squiz. We say that all the time in New Zealand. And then he talks about riding a kangaroo. Because I'm thinking that he's not actually from New Zealand. I think he's a put-on. I think he puts it on because the ladies like it. Even though the actor actually technically is from New Zealand, I think their story is going to be that he's not actually from New Zealand.
Hmm.
Because, like, because Riley points out that there are no kangaroos in New Zealand.
In New Zealand.
Like, and the fact that he's got a skateboard with a kiwi bird on it, he's trying too hard. I think that's the entire thing, is he is not actually from New Zealand. It's a complete put-on. He thinks the ladies love it. And then in a few episodes, he's going to start talking with an American accent.
No!
Or at least, I don't know, maybe he'll reveal it and then continue talking with a Kiwi accent for the rest of the series. Because he's like, well, it still works.
I hope that happens. Not because I don't want him to lose.
But I think it's another thing where it's a subtle character point that they're going to later show that he's just doing it, you know, for personal gain, and it's not, you know, an actual thing with him. I think that's, and if that's true, I think it's another brilliant little piece of character development there.
Well,
like, I mean, really, doesn't it seem like he's trying too hard with
Squid? Chase has to show off his knowledge of bikes and how they have lasers and scanners and they can do wheelies. And then Coda has to beat the bike. That's what they do.
Bring stick again, yes. And then he...
Here's the thing, though. Like, he's already been in a Megazord. He's already seen... bikes. He's already seen things. Okay. Why are you gonna? I'm caveman. Beat stick. Like, I don't know. To me, that just seemed a little forced because of, oh look, I just had this dream where like the saber-tooth tiger just made the similar noise, so I'm gonna beat this thing with it. Come on.
I don't know. Like, I think you're being rough on it. Again, he's been frozen.
Mike, do you, Mikey?
Yes. What
do you? What do you think?
Okay. I think that this is when a really obnoxious like montage of him integrating into society would have came in handy. Like, just get this out of the way. And you make a good point. He's already been in a Megazord and been around technology. So why is he beating this motorcycle with a stick like he's never seen one before?
Well, Kendall did say that he has a grasp on... becoming a ranger, but not the rest of modern technology. So there is that. And again, like, I think it's a thing where, again, 100,000 years. Remember, 100,000 years. So I think each new thing would be shocking initially. Like, everything.
Yeah, if he never saw it before.
But how long do you think he's been unfrozen?
No, we see... In the episodes alone, he's been in a... He's seen a car.
He's been in one.
He's been in one.
Yeah.
I mean, the engine goes vroom vroom. Like, it's
not... Well, yeah, but again, with the engine, though, he just woke up from a crazy nightmare involving, you know, his little brother. So I think he gets a little pass on that.
He's a little staddled.
You'd be a little high tension, too, if you just had some crazy nightmare.
Anyway, I just thought it was a little much for him beating it with a stick. I'm good.
And again, the whole point of this episode is that by the end of it...
And then he beats the cell phone.
He was distraught over Taco.
But again, by the end of the episode, that's the point they're proving, is that he beats a cell phone and then he needs to use one. Like, it ends with him... slowly but surely starting to get more integrated into it, so thus you need to start the episode by showing him not integrated with it.
I thought it was a little on the nose. I'm sorry.
You've convinced me, Jeremy. I guess I agree with you. Oh. I guess. For what it's worth.
It's just a little on the nose.
It's like how I mentioned in the very first episode how Tyler said his last name. Normally he wouldn't say his last name, but you say your last name so you can make
so you just set up the joke. So,
right. Like, yeah.
Okay, I give you one. I give you one. But like, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, or just give me one, okay? You wanna beat up the motorcycle, but not beat up the cell phone? Awesome. Okay. Like, not being familiar with technology, it doesn't have to be always on 11, right? There are, like, different scenarios of not being familiar. It could just ring, be like, he'll be startled, well, but doesn't have to beat it. Like, no.
Again, I will totally say you're right if, after this episode, he's still always on 11. But if he's not, then
okay.
It's fair.
Okay, you know? All right. So we will table this conversation.
Yeah. I mean... you've got a guy who's a caveman who's been frozen for 100,000 years. I think he can have one episode where he acts like a caveman who's been frozen for 100,000 years. And that's what they focus on.
Okay, so we're going to table this conversation. If he's still on 11 with, like,
yeah, I mean, if he's
everything in life.
If he's still going to, if he's still beating things with sticks in an episode or two, then yes, you fully have a point. And I will totally
agree. They get a hall pass this time.
Yeah. Yeah, for first episode, for first focus episode, you give him some slack. And again, I think that's what's cool is that throughout history of Power Rangers, if you look at all the different Rangers and everybody who's gotten their powers, and then you say, oh, by the way, we have one Ranger who's a caveman that's been frozen for 100,000 years, it's fair to say that is, on paper, the dumbest idea,
yes,
probably of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he's a pretty interesting character who you can empathize with, who has personality, who's making it work. Like, the writing is making it work. We've had worse characters
people who are currently in the present day who act like cavemen.
Yes. Who act less human than the caveman.
Yes,
we've had entire cast recently who've acted less human than the caveman. You know, like, and that's I guess my whole point is that, you know, it's not the gimmick that holds anything down. Like, people have said before, like, themes of seasons or whatever have held seasons down and made it harder to do things. And I've always disagreed with that because I'm like, if you're creative enough, if you're a good enough writer, you can make anything work. Just like how we said they made Go Onger into RPM. God forbid, that seemed impossible before it started. You know, because Go Onger is the most ridiculous garbage you'll ever see in your life. Cartoony crap. And yet they somehow turned that into RPM. Just like you can take the idea of a caveman, which is stupid, and turn it into a fun, interesting character. Shocking. Shocking.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves way too much, because we still have episode 4 to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's fun because, you know, we're actually in a season now where you want to go off on tangents and you want to talk about the intricacies and the amazing little stuff that happens instead of just saying, okay, let's get through this episode. Here's the thing that happened.
Can I have a little sidebar about Fury before we continue?
Sure.
What's the deal with the fur?
Oh,
coming and going, and what?
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, it's like Goldar's wings, where depending on the scene, like they must have one costume that's practical for fights, and one costume that's just for standing around and talking
and hunting.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never seen Kyo Ryuger. I don't even know if I pronounced it right, but like, what's the deal with the fur? Like, is it like a power up for him, or
no? It's I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes. I don't really think it's a thing. I think he pretty much always has the fur.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember.
Not somebody saying, like, oh, they're just going to give him his fur without explaining it. Like, it made it seem like there was some reason behind it besides just cosmetic.
Actually, now that I think about it, it does have something to do with, again, I think I would be giving some massive spoilers away if I talked about it. That involve him and the aforementioned Gold Ranger. Like, there's a lot to it. And I think that they're going to use some of that when it comes to Tyler's dad. So I don't know how much I should or should not say.
I can let the fur go for now.
Yeah.
So he's stealing furs from people. Ooh. Mm-hmm. He trying to get his human on. Yeah. See, snap. Do you think that was like one, you know, the dad's fur or whatever, and he like holds on to it and he smells it and it's like, this smells like a human, and that's how he tracks down humans like a dog? What?
No.
It's pretty bleak.
I think he only tracks down humans who have energems. Because that's what he smells.
Anywho. I'm just putting that out there. Anyhow, so Coda.
Yeah, so that was Coda's scene, and broke the phone. And now we go back to Sledge. And interesting enough, Lakuro shows up. Or they just...
Curio.
Yeah, they've shortened his name because his name is Lakuro. in Curiager. So they just shortened it to Curio. And he's made from old monster parts, which is, again, kind of creepy. That he's Frankenstein, and yet he's the cute, adorable monster bad guy. So and they basically say he was made so Poissandra has a buddy, because as we saw in the last episode, she's not big on fighting. And this is, of course, going to go for the Curiager footage, because those two are joined at the hip in Curiager. Mm-hmm. So that's how they wrote that in. And also interesting, the same guy who voices Wrench also voices Curio.
Yep.
Same dude.
Get that money.
Mm-hmm. And now, and we also have another Monster of the Week that is once again voiced by the Yellow Ranger from Mystic Force.
Yep. Yeah. Nick Sampson.
He does, getting that money. Yeah, he does lots of monster voices now.
Getting that money.
Mm-hmm. And then, as... Then we, of course, I know you don't like it, but more footage of Coda being wacky. Which, I think they did go a little too far. Like, really? He doesn't even have a bike helmet that fits? Like, that has nothing to do with him not integrating with society.
Boy. It's just like the whole... Okay, fine. Look, I get it. Sprinklers, got it. Awesome. I get that. You know, there's certain things I get. Fine. You know, yeah, flip over the chair because, hello, I ain't new to this. But, like, hitting the TV...
I liked it when he did the header in the glass, though. That was good. Boosh.
Yes, the head in the glass. Got it.
It makes sense. Because
regular people do that. So that's not even like a caveman thing. But the
comb.
TV. And no, the comb's funny because, again, that's like kind of felt a little related to that. Because I feel your pain. Coda, feel your pain. But TV, dude. Like the TV. Like you... Bruh. like your reaction again is not just be startled. Hide, jump behind something. Why you have to hit it with a stick?
I don't know. There are people out there, if someone scares them, their immediate reaction is just punch them in the face. Not run or hide or just jump or anything. People do that. Yeah. It's called fight or flight.
Anywho,
he picks fight.
I'm just like, all right, are we done with this?
Yeah. But he had a nice little heart to heart though with Chase. You know, I'm talking about and then looking good for the ladies. Ooh, for the ladies.
That was cute because, you know, he's all like trying to get all buff and then the sprinklers come on and he gets like a little child.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
And the monster attacks. And he catches everybody, catches Chase, and then catches Coda and Peter.
Now, I will have to say about Peter, okay? We've had many child actors on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Many voices of child actors.
Many adult women.
Yes, adult women.
Voicing over children, child actors.
Little boys on this show.
Oh, Jeremy.
And
Jason's cousin.
I will have to say that this is by far the best little kid.
Yeah, I would say we've had a few good ones
in
but,
a long time.
But yeah, I mean, definitely. He's definitely one of the better ones. Trying to think of other ones that I thought were good, but definitely this
Kite
one
wasn't too bad.
No. We are not kiting. No, we are not wild forcing anything.
No.
They're polluting the planet. They gotta stop it. Here
but
is
as
your
an
wild
actor,
force rider.
I think the kid did pretty good though.
I will never admit to any of that.
At least he wasn't like too much of a drama queen like Peter is, like, oh, my broken leg, which clearly wasn't broken. But we'll
how
get
do you there. Know? It was could have been sprained, and he thought, and if you're a kid and you sprain your ankle, you're going to go, oh,
you
it's
say
broken.
Broken. Yeah.
Oh, it's broken.
Come on now.
Cowie me, Coda.
Maybe he just wanted to get, he wanted to make time with Coda, you know? I mean, I don't blame him. You know, he's only human. Who doesn't want to make some time with Coda?
Well, I thought the kid would, I mean, honestly, we've had some horrible, horrible children.
Or the kid that that Cassidy and Devin were trying to chase down. And that was the worst. That was the worst dub job.
Oh gosh, that was bad. That was so bad. Yeah. That was bad. You know, like, I mean, and that's the thing. So, like, I was like, wait a minute. This is a regular looking kid who sounds pretty regular. Who's, I mean, the worst thing is, okay, maybe he's a little whiny, but dude, his leg is quote unquote broken. You know, mm-hmm. You know what you gotta do. So, yeah.
So they're trapped in. I think it's a nice little bit of.
I'm sorry, but Taco would have handled that situation much better.
Really? Yeah. Wouldn't he? Really? Really? He, Coda!
Yeah, the kid who's only lying. Coda!
Coda! Like.
Mike!
Yeah.
Carone!
Get a comb, kid. Get a comb.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they get trapped, and I think it's a nice little clever bit that the bike got caught under the cage. I think that's a interesting little bit of.
How was the bike not broken, though? Like.
How did it make a perfect?
It was made in America. That ain't no China bike.
It made a perfect semicircle around it. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to fit out of there somehow. You know, and even ripped Coda needs a little room. Yeah. So he gets out of there, and I love the fact that they immediately start displaying his caveman skills to say, you know what? Okay, he doesn't get technology. But by being a caveman, he sure knows a lot of crap that modern people don't know how to do immediately. Mm-hmm. So he makes a fire and he makes a splint. And then he can tell by the direction of the wind how to get out of the cave. So, you know, he's got some mad skills. Some mad caveman skills. He's like, okay, I'm going to go save Peter. Chase, you're on your own. Peace. Deuces.
Nice knowing you. Yeah, bye.
Whatever.
I come back. Oh, no, not really.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe, if I feel like...
I leave you like brother. Bye.
Yes. Sabertooth tiger might get you. Oh well.
Sorry, too soon.
Yes.
Sucks to be you.
So yeah, and then we cut to the other scene I was talking about before, where we clearly indicate once again that Kendall has zero faith in Shelby without actually saying it. Because she does her slow-mo walk in there, and she's looking around.
I know. That was like some Michelle Walsh.
Yeah, she was getting her Michelle Walsh on. And then she walks into there, and she's like, oh, Coda and Chase, they're not answering. I know they're kind of flaky, but they're not answering their dino communicators. So
they're dino comms.
Yeah, so Riley, Tyler, go look for her. Shelby, you keep being a waitress.
But... I don't think at that point it was like she didn't have any faith in her. It was just like, okay, then who's gonna look after the dino bite? Like, everyone's gone.
You pick the girl that's already proven she can't get orders right?
No, how about the girl that worked there?
No, I think it's another subtle dig. Like, I think it's just a very small
thing. I don't think so. Not this time. I think it was just like, somebody has to stay here. You've worked here before. You stay here. And then let them find them. And honestly, really, do you really think that they're going to let the girls ride the bikes? So soon? So soon? Come on. Come on.
I like to think of it as a subtle dig. I think it's a clever little thing. Because again, this show has given me enough faith in the fact that it can be subtle, you know? That I believe it was, you know, if I was watching another season, I wouldn't think twice about it.
And I think you're thinking a little bit too hard. This is a little, ooh, tat. This is Mitch.
I don't know.
This is an episode where you have to show off the bikes. The guys get the bikes. The guys get to ride.
They all
the bikes.
Have bikes. That's, and actually, I actually, understand. Actually, in the Kyo Ryuger footage, she uses it more than most of the team.
Right, but hello, still Merle happy. So you have to show the guys riding the bikes first. And then the girls, we just come along in the back with our little whatevers. And then, you know, they'll throw us a bone and we'll get to ride a bike. it, but I don't.
I also think it's interesting that they didn't show off the most interesting feature of the bike, which is the fact that it's actually two dinosaurs.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
It's literally because I'm trying to think if I'm trying to say American name or Japanese name. The Judenshi, I want to say, but the Dino Charger number 11 is Dinos Grander, it's Dinos Chaser, which is basically they take the little charger, and then these two little raptor things pop up out of the ground, and they each connect to it using the charger to become the bike. And here they just have the bike. You can sort of see the charger in the middle, but I kind of figured they would show that off to get kids to go, oh, buy the charger so you can go make your bike.
Make your bikes, kids.
But they didn't do any of that, so interesting. But there's that. Let's see. And of course, you know, they had to do a quick little scene where it's like, oh, let's show Riley and Tyler riding the bikes. Aren't they special? Ooh, nice and sleek. But they didn't meander on it too long, which is good. So then the monster comes back and, oh, I gotta go get those guys that escaped. And that's when we get to the point where there's a fork in the road, and the kid pulls out his cell phone and says, you know, I don't have enough signal to call, but it'll work as a tracking thing, which is the moment where, you know, Code is still scared of it when he sees it, but he calms down and he realizes, I need to get out of here. This is the only thing that's going to help me get out of here. So I've got to accept the fact that I got to try to use this modern technology. So he uses the GPS and he gets out of the cave, which I think is a good moment, and it plays off the fact that he broke Shelby's phone. You know, it's showing him grow. It's showing, oh, I was afraid of this, but now I'm not. Or at least I have to force myself not to be. So.
But how does the GPS work when a cell phone doesn't work?
Can it? I don't know. I actually don't know.
I don't know. Isn't it like the same thing?
Well, here's the thing, right? The whole purpose why they couldn't morph or they couldn't communicate with their dino comms is that there was some magnetic field that was blocking the or surrounding the particular part of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Okay. So that's not uncommon for these, you know, monsters to do so that the people can't morph. Great. So then even the cell phone service was not really working.
Well, you're in a cave, so that's to be expected.
So that right. So with the GPS now, I don't recall using GPS when we don't. Okay, so the GPS the GPS uses many things to kind of triangulate where you are, right? So one factor would be your Wi-Fi. If you're using your phone, it would be your Wi-Fi. Another would be the cell phone, actual cell phone service. And then, what is that? Okay. And then, and I think there's a third factor. Kind of want to look this up now because honestly, I don't want to like say something wrong. But there was no cell phone service and there's no Wi-Fi. So then, like, how is it tracking them, you know, in the cave? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
See, now I have to Google it.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
I think that sound you heard was my phone vibrating.
First thing I see, it says, if your phone is a GPS receiver, it should continue to listen for the satellite signals regardless of your cell phone network service.
Okay.
There are two types of GPS with mobile phones, AGPS and GPS. AGPS is assisted GPS and requires a connection to work, but regular GPS does not. most phones these days, from iPhone to new Nokia, have proper GPS, so you can use them anywhere in any country or on a boat.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat.
You can't sing the whole song.
No, can't. Nope.
So yeah, I mean, it sounds like yeah, that you can, for the most part.
Or at the very least, it's like limiting. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not going to be the greatest amount of accuracy, but it'll do something. So, we'll stick with that. You know.
Yeah. Basically, it's saying that that as long as there are satellites, that it can position you with or without phone service. So, I think it's legit.
Oh, all
right. So I'm
glad we got that
Coda,
out of the way.
Coda was saved by the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
So then the Rangers show up, and then the kid creepily goes, "Coda," which is really weird and really off-putting. Sounded like he was pining for his lover.
Yeah, there's a lot of slow-mos up in this.
The slow-mo was not necessary in that scene. Although it was good because it's like, "Hey, I'm Kendall. I'm here to help. Oh, I gotta leave now. Okay, I'm going. You guys have fun. I gotta take the kid. I just came here to take the kid because I'm not important yet." No. Time for Rangers to do their things.
I mean, it would have been great if the kid looked up her, Kendall.
Yeah. So
he's like, "Yeah, I like to break my foot a lot. Hey. Wow. How about you, little lady?"
Mm-hmm. So there was that. And then Monster shows up, and they morph, and this is our dinosaur Mite ready to fight. Wow. I'm still not a fan of that.
Dinosaur Mite ready to fight.
It's just not good.
In the Dino Bites!
It's just not good. Like, I get the fact that they like their dumb catchphrases, but they don't need... It's just bad.
Well, some of this Megaforce stuff, really, and Samurai stuff has really crept in here. Like, they don't need the opening... What's to call it? In front of every episode. Of, like...
Oh, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
That's not needed.
It's weird because, like, as much as I don't like that, I always really enjoyed it when they did it in Ninja Storm. Like,
three teens, yeah, blah blah blah,
chosen
blah,
above blah. The rest. Yeah, I always enjoyed that, but for some reason now in these last couple of seasons, it's been kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's just not needed. It's not needed.
It's too long. Like, if you're gonna do that, that's like 5 seconds. You don't need like 15, 20 seconds of.
30. Yeah. You don't need 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's too much. Especially when you've got a good season that has lots of content to pack into an episode.
And we have a cold open. Like, you just skip to the cold open. Don't need this sledge has come to blah blah. What? And it's a bomb! Like, we don't need that every time.
Right.
Nope. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So
then... You know, time, show off the bikes, bike fights all around. And there was one scene where they forgot to correct a dino charger. They forgot to correct the words on it like they had before, because there was a Gabutira I saw. Missed one. Unfortunately. But yeah, it was basically just bike fights. And it was kind of interesting because based on the footage, didn't it kind of feel like this was more of a Riley episode?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did. But, you know.
Yeah. I think...
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember I'm trying to remember whose episode it actually was. Like, because I know somebody was stuck in a cave and the Triceratops did have to go bust him out, but I'm very foggy because, you know, it was the beginning of the season, so that was a while ago, but...
But you know what? They're probably setting up Riley's episode for next one. Right?
Yeah, I think it's the next one is his. I'm going to look at my episodes quickly and see if I can remember what happened. Keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, because it did feel like it was I mean, and again, I don't mind it because, like, I mean, I think it's just so typical for, well, it's about the Blue Ranger, and then that means he must save the day, or that must mean that he must get the focus. And not necessarily. I mean, it's like, all right, Blue Ranger had his time. All right, let the pink ones, save the day. Or Red Ranger had his time. Let the green one save the day. Or like, it could you could change it up. I don't mind that. So it didn't bother me that Riley was getting his shine in the field. Oh, man.
Okay, yeah, this was a Green Ranger episode. And the Triceratops just went to free a bunch of rando captured people. Okay, interesting.
There you go. So again, don't mind. I don't mind at
You said you
all.
thought it was setting up for Riley's episode. Like, didn't Riley already have an episode?
Well, I mean, he had the first 5 minutes of the second episode, but that wasn't really about him.
And I guess the next one would be Chase, right? I mean, he hasn't had
Yeah.
any.
No. Yeah, well, that's the thing is, yeah, they've used Chase very well as a support in the last couple of episodes. Like, besides Tyler last episode and besides Coda this episode, he got the most focus in both of those episodes. So they've been slowly building up to a Chase episode, but no, he's had the least solo focus of anybody. So yeah, I think the next episode is his.
But again, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it, and it also was a break from Coda, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh.
We had enough. We had enough.
Oh yes, next week is Breaking Black.
Break him.
Really? What are you doing? Quit making out with the microphone.
I just have a lot of feelings about Breaking Bad.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe they can make some references. Yeah, right.
Breaking Black. Breaking Black. Okay,
Although, again,
so
we've again the people have also mentioned this is that we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves because this all four episodes so far have been written by Chip. So we haven't seen what this show
other
could do.
episodes written by other
Yeah,
people.
so we haven't gotten to that yet.
What if all the, like, what if they just pulled a Gaim and, like,
Every episode?
yo, Holmes, I'm writing every
Like a
episode.
Gaim or Kyoryuger, yeah. That seems to be becoming more of a trend in Toku, so maybe.
It's like, yeah, I need to pull the reins on this season, so you can assist me in
Yeah,
writing,
I gotta make sure
but
this one's actually good. So, sorry, Jason Smith, you can go sit in the corner. Yeah. So then the episode ends with the kid telling his story to some other kids, and they leave, and then everybody shows up, and Coda has a brand new bike for the kid, and the kid wants to teach him how to ride the bike. And I have two things I'd like to say to Coda. One, if you're gonna learn how to ride a bike, the grass is not the best place to do it.
pretty
Two,
much.
if you're gonna learn how to ride a bike, next to a cliff is also not the best place to do it.
Like, let's not
Yeah.
relive.
Yeah, don't fall off, don't no saber-tooth tigers are jumping out here. We don't need to fall off more cliffs.
Okay.
Well, again, and it's another thing where it's like you're looking at the picture and like, really? You're gonna tell me this is not New Zealand?
Yeah, this is a regular park.
Yeah,
This is a regular
this is just
park.
a park with this ma amazing sprawling ocean and this crystal clear water and this beautiful, sand just off in the distance. But yeah, it's California. We'll go.
It's like Kenathon Park,
Yeah,
It's right there.
every part of California looks this beautiful. Yeah, it's great. In no way is it disgusting and gross.
Yeah. I mean, and really, why is he learning to ride a bike on these like miniature like bikes? Like, why doesn't he not have like an adult bike that he's
Well,
learning to
he
ride?
bought the bike for the kid.
No, I'm talking about the first bike
Oh.
he learned on a tri not even a bike, a tricycle.
It
Like
was training wheels. It was not a tricycle.
but it was not an adult bike. Like, why are they giving this grown man little people bikes?
I don't know.
They are setting them up to fail, right? send him up to fail.
I think they like to laugh at Coda behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Coda. Everybody you ever knew is dead.
Mm-hmm. And they don't like Asians. Racists!
Oh.
Well, I just thought it was funny. I thought it was funny how all the kids were like, whoa, you saw a caveman? Okay, go, bye.
Yeah.
I thought, like, isn't this the part where the kids go, no, you're lying. Shut up, dweeb.
And then Coda's like, oh, Peter, how's your leg? Oh, it's fine. Like, really?
What? He just sprained his ankle and he thought it was broken. We've been over this. Kids like to exaggerate. You know, they're like, they pretend that they're more hurt than they are, you know?
But the kids were like, okay, yeah, I gotta go, yeah. Bye.
Oh, you gotta do the final scene with the actual main actors? We gotta go. Yeah. And then Tyler's sitting there with his Marty McFly jacket looking all whack. But, hey, at least it...
You leave Tyler alone.
Isn't that great, though, that literally Tyler said maybe two words this entire episode? Like, it's good, because he had so much focus early on, so it's like, you're in the background, dude. You're not doing anything. Everybody is more important than you right now.
And his wardrobe keeps changing. So you leave his Marty McFly, whatever he wore, alone. We're getting different outfits.
Hipster Tyler's here.
I'm just happy to get different outfits. Okay. Just happy. Anyhow, so I think it's time for us to rate these episodes.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go fours for both. Double fours. I thought they both are very similar in the fact they did some very nice character development. They gave everybody something to do. They spread it out a bit. They did a good job of teasing stuff without actually giving us everything. You know, they give us a little bit. They give us nuggets of information. They didn't, you know, they could have easily just crapped through everything they had to say about Coda before present day. But we still haven't seen exactly what happened to him. We still haven't seen him wake up. We haven't seen any of that stuff. And we might not even see all of it. But they temper themselves. They give us pieces, which is fantastic. So, yeah, I'm going to go fours all around. Honestly, I mean, this thing is, after episode two, which is a little weak, we're back to firing on all cylinders, and I am actually anticipating each week's new episode. Like, the first week where we don't have a new episode, I'm going to be genuinely bummed.
Mm.
I'm not going to be like, oh my god, a reprieve. Yes.
Okay. I'll have to say, I may have to revise my vote from last time we talked.
Yeah.
Because I think I was being a little generous.
Generous?
Last time, because episode two was not great. Okay. Like, I just know, I was like,
it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but I think I have to revise it to give it a two.
Wow.
So that I can give these two a three. Like, I think, like, like talking about it, three is good. Three's, you know, fair. Three's, you know, you're right down the middle. I think that, you know, there's certain things I would have changed in episode three and with four. Trying to think. I don't know. I think I'll give this a three. I think three, three, and I'll give four, four. I'll do that. Yeah. I have to talk these things out.
Okay.
All right. So, literally, two gets a two. Three wow. gets a three, and four gets a four.
Okay, then.
There you go.
This next week's episode is going to be really good.
You know, right? Amazing. But yeah, I think, yeah, because episode three, there were some things I'm just like, ah, could've, yeah, whatever. And although with Coda, I could have done without some of the Coda-isms, but he's still a lovable character that you can't really stay mad with him for long. So, you know, like, even though I just talked about, like, oh, go to bed, whatever about it, but it's just like he is more lovable than some of the human regular pre, I'm not pre, the current humans that we've seen in this show. It's like in previous seasons. So, you know, can't be too hard on Coda. But yeah, I think solid. I think that's solid. You know, certain things they can improve on, but overall, you know, still on the Dino Charge train. Mm-hmm. Mikey.
I'd probably give episode 3 a 4. And episode 4, I'd probably give like a 3.8.
No, it has to be
a whole number.
Yeah, we don't do any of this middling BS.
Okay, well then, all right. So I'd have to change my previous vote. I'd have to give it a 3 then, because I'm not like in love with the whole caveman thing. I don't hate it, but I'd probably give it a 3. Yeah, that's all.
All right.
So 3 gets a 4, and 4 gets a 3.
Yes.
So reverse, Lisa.
Reverse, yeah. I don't know. I'm just like not a huge fan of the caveman storyline. I don't, like I said, I don't hate it, but I can't wait until he can start talking normally.
Well, me too. Me too.
It was just kind of annoying in this episode. It brought it down for me a little bit.
I need him to start putting in some prepositions and compound words, and like, I mean, I need that, some pronoun, like some more pronouns, like, I mean, something, like, we need some. I'm waiting for that.
I would love to see Coda meet Jem and Gemma and have a conversation with them. get all the Majins together and see them talk to each other.
Do you want Coda to die? Like, do you know what they're capable of?
How
they make things go boom. Like, no.
Yeah, like they would just go boom and then he'd hit him with a stick. Oh, it'd be so good. Coda and Gemma. Greatest team up ever.
It's a little much for my cup of tea. So, Dino Charge. You keep charging.
Mm-hmm. You're ready to fight.
It's dinosaur. Oh, I cannot believe that's a thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.